again, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable. I should say Pastor Evangelist because of these radio outreach and through the World Wide Web, this gospel is going places that we just never, ever could dream of. And we're so grateful to be part of the broadcast family right here on WMAF. We pray that you're going to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes to Let's Talk About Jesus. We've got wonderful things to tell you today. Amen. It's not going to be like CNN or MSNBC or their local paper or Newsweek. We've got good news to bring. The old camp meeting song that we used to sing is that I've got good news to bring, and that is why I sing. My joy with you I'll share. I plan to take a trip on the good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Jesus is coming back soon, and there should be a spirit of anticipation in the heart of every Christian. That great event is hastening, and the day of the Lord is hastening. But in the meantime, God is reaching out to touch, to deliver, to save, to set free. And I pray you will stay tuned today as we continue our discussion on the new covenant, declaring the new covenant. And before we get into our subject today, we want to thank you once again for returning to WMAF here to Let's Talk About Jesus. We're so glad that we are building a listening audience right there in Madison. The primary target of this ministry is Madison, because this is your hometown radio station, and we pray that we, though we are originated in Tampa, that we are contributing to your devotional life there. There are other broadcasters who broadcast right there, church services right there from Madison, and we are grateful to be part of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ along with others. And we're so grateful for those of you that have visited our website. We're going to give you the opportunity to do that again today. If you will type in on your computer, if you're on the World Wide Web, if you will type in THCOG, that's all you have to do. It'll take you to the Holy Church of God and Robert A. Venable, pastor. Been pastor of this church for going on 36 years here in the Tampa area. So we have a good record here in Tampa. We've been in good standing with the Independent Assemblies of God International since 1974. It kind of dates us, but it also, I believe, clarifies to you that may be wondering where we're coming from, that we are a bona fide church that has kept a standard down through the years of exalting Jesus Christ and adhering to the Word of God as it was given by the apostles and prophets, with Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Praise God. Hallelujah. I appreciate what one American Indian Christian said. He said, "I know that God loves the Indian people because Jesus is chief cornerstone." Praise God. Well, we love you today. We're just so glad that you've returned again. And if you're listening by computer in another country or another state, we are grateful that you have returned once again. We were ministering last week about the new covenant, talking about the fact that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. That word new in the Greek, and of course that's out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that word new in the Greek implies a new nature quite different from anything previously existing. One of the things that we seem to be losing sight of in many modern religious circles is that the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't just save you from punishment in the future, but from Satan's power and sway in the now. Praise God. Amen. The heart of man needs a change, and God's Spirit, God's power, when we invite Jesus into our life as our Lord and personal Savior, amen, God's power is released within us. This is the difference in the new covenant. The old covenant never had the power to change the sinful nature of the human heart, but the new covenant did. Hallelujah. We're just reviewing a little bit today, but I want you to know that God will change you. I often tell people, I thought I had to change myself, and it hindered me from coming to Jesus because I didn't believe that I could change myself. I wanted to change. I saw that sin was hurting me and my family, but I didn't believe that I could change. And you know, there's an element of truth in it. I couldn't change myself. The Old Testament's very clear. Can a leopard change his spots? Well, of course he can't. That's his nature. And we are born into this world, into a fallen world with the fallen nature that has the propensity to sin. And that's why Jesus taught you must be born again. Hallelujah. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. It is exclusive to the Holy Spirit. Let me read that. I want to read that again. I don't want to miss this before we move on today. And let's review just a little bit. I want to go back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you're listening to this broadcast today, and you were in my circumstance and way of thinking, why should I bother calling on Jesus? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to be at least honest in my dealings with the Almighty. I'm not going to make promises that I know I can't keep. I'm not. Oh, listen. If you understood one scripture, that kind of thinking would be blown away today. And it's in John's Gospel, chapter 1, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. He authorizes you to become a child of God. He brings you into the royal family. Praise God. Listen, friend. Amen. God's not asking you to change your whole life. He's asking you to change your mind. And that's one thing you can change. You can change your mind about your sin. You can decide in your mind that you don't want to go down that road anymore. And you can decide in your heart that you want to go in the other direction. And you can invite Jesus into your life and ask him to forgive your sin. And what you did not possess in yourself, the Holy Spirit will give you. And what you could not do in yourself, the Holy Spirit can do in you. And matter of fact, there's a scripture in the New Testament that said it is God that worketh in you to both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You have to give him the right. He will not override your will, but your will is not enough in and of itself to change anything. But listen, if you will to receive Jesus as your Savior, repent of your sins, God's power will go to work within you. Listen, folks, the power that created the universe is available to you and me to help us to follow Jesus, praise God, and not follow sin in the flesh. This is the promised blessing of the New Covenant Christian. Matthew Henry says of this scripture, they have a new heart and a new nature. And so great is the change that God makes in the heart and in the soul that it follows that old things are passed away, old thoughts, old principles, and old practices. Regenerating grace creates a new world within the soul. I'm in a new world, we used to sing, since the Lord saved me. Old things have passed away. All things are new today. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Titus 3:5 says, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That word regeneration, to review again, means the production of a new life consecrated to God. The word is often used to denote the restoration of a thing to its pristine state, as if we had never sinned. Praise God. Under the old covenant, as we move on, sin was only covered under the old covenant. Under the new covenant, it is canceled, remitted, washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Under the old covenant, God was unapproachable. Under the new covenant, we have access to the holiest. We are welcomed into the presence of God. Under the old covenant, man was always conscious of his sinful state. He lived in a state of guilt and fear. Under the new covenant, our conscience is sprinkled from evil. No more sin consciousness. A new life of faith and love has come into play. Under the old covenant had to be renewed annually. Every year the high priest had to go and offer a sin sacrifice for himself so he could offer a sin sacrifice for the people. The new covenant is perpetual. It's once and for all finished. It's based on Christ's eternal priesthood. He ever lives to make intercession. Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood," at that supper, that last Lord's supper upon which we base our communion services. "This is the new covenant in my blood." That's why your Bible is separated into covenants, the old covenant and the new covenant. And you know what the scripture says about this new covenant? That it is a better covenant, established on better promises, for the blood of Jesus Christ speaks of better things than the blood of bulls and goats. Praise God. Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." The success of the new covenant depended solely on Christ. In the Amplified, it said, "This is the new covenant ratified and established by my blood." The blood of Jesus is what makes the new covenant so powerful and also so precious. The reason for all these benefits and blessings, for all this power and victory, is the blood of Jesus Christ. The old covenant was established by the blood of slain animals, but the new covenant by the precious blood of Jesus. Both the old and new covenants, however, are blood covenants. The Bible said, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." Exodus 24:7-8, "And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, 'All that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient.' And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, 'Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all of these words.'" Incredible verse of scripture in Exodus 24. So Moses took the blood. What blood was it? The blood of a previously sacrificed animal. He took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the sacrifice of an animal." Then there was blood applied to the people, and therefore the ratification of the covenant. Jesus, hundreds of years later, holds a cup and says, "This is the new covenant in my blood." There is a blood sacrifice, but this sacrifice is going to be different. In the new covenant, Jesus is both the priest who intercedes and offers the sacrifice, and he is also the sacrifice, the Lamb who is slain for you, and the Lamb who is slain for me. That's why in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, it said, "Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." The two great worship words that emerge from the book of Revelation, those 24 elders, those angels that are worshiping in the presence of Almighty God, is holy and worthy. The Dutch theologian, missionary, and pastor Andrew Murray, in his excellent little book, The Power of the Blood of Jesus, reminds us of the great biblical truth. From the beginning, he says, to the end of Scripture, from the closing of the gates of Eden to the opening of the gates of heavenly Zion, there runs through the Scripture a golden thread. It is the blood that unites the beginning and the end, that gloriously restores what sin had destroyed. He continues, "God has no other way of dealing with sin or the sinner save through the blood. We used to sing it. You remember it, many of you that have attended church for several years. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Ah, the great Christian hymn says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. Folks, that message, that fundamental, foundational message that is the centerpiece of the Christian faith, without which there is no salvation, that great message, I believe that message of Christ and Him crucified, establishing the new covenant. When Christians begin to get excited again about the price that was paid, the person who paid it, the power of the cross, we're going to see a revival sweep over this nation as everyday people, just like you and I, and everyday preachers, not just super evangelists, praise God, begin to get excited about what Jesus has done at the cross. Praise the Lord. For victory over sin and the deliverance of the sinner, God has no other means or thought than the blood of Jesus. Yes, it is indeed something that surpasses all understanding. All of the wonders of grace are focused here. The incarnation, by which He took upon Himself our flesh and blood, the love that spared not itself but surrendered itself to death, the righteousness which could not forgive sin till the penalty was borne, the substitution by which He is righteous, He is the righteous one, atoned for us, the unrighteous, the atonement for sin and the justification of the sinner thus made possible, renewed fellowship with God, together with the cleansing and sanctification to fit us for the enjoyment of that fellowship. The true oneness in life with the Lord Jesus as He gives us His blood to drink. The eternal joy of the hymn of praise, Thou hast redeemed us to God. All these are but rays of the wondrous light which are reflected upon us from the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm going to tell you, this is shouting ground today. We're always looking for something new, as if what we have is not enough to shout throughout all eternity. We're looking for some new thing from the Holy Spirit, except that which has been well established through the apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ. You know, I believe we need to get excited about what we have in the Lord, instead of looking for something new from the Lord. I don't believe we need anything new. I believe we need to get excited about the old, the tried, and the true. And I believe the revival that we need in America will come the same way God brought it to China, and that is through the preaching of the cross and the declaration of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that repentance will bring renewal and restoration, praise God, and salvation to the lost and deliverance to the captive. I believe the gospel that was preached in the first century will do the same job in the 21st century in the postmodern world. Hallelujah. I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Folks, the blood must have the same place in our hearts which it has with God. We must understand how God looks at us in light of the shed blood of Jesus if we've received Him as our personal Savior. We can rely upon the Lord Jesus to reveal unto us the power of His blood. There is nothing that draws our hearts nearer to God, filling them with God's love and joy and glory as living in a constant spiritual view of that blood. The blood of Jesus is the greatest mystery of eternity and the deepest mystery of divine wisdom. It is by this confident trust in Him that the blessing obtained by the blood becomes ours. We must never in thought separate the blood from the high priest who shed it and ever lives to apply it. Oh, friend of mine, I am so glad for the blood of Jesus. You know, there are people in certain circles that want to downplay the place of the cross and the blood of Jesus in the gospel. And I'm going to declare very clearly today and confidently today without backing up one iota or inch, without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice for sin. I'm sure the devil would love it if we would quit declaring Christ and Him crucified. I'm sure he would love it if we downplayed the cross and the shedding of Christ's blood. In fact, the Bible said in the book of Revelation chapter 12, "Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down that accused them day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto the death." No wonder the enemy of our soul wants to downplay, dismantle, disintegrate, try to destroy the place of the cross and the blood of Jesus in the Christian faith. Folks, I'm so glad to declare that he cannot do that if we don't let him do it. And there's enough of us standing true to the faith that was once delivered unto the saints to see that he can't do it. Praise God. There's no salvation without the blood of Jesus, but oh, there's great salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He who gave his blood for us will so surely, every moment, impart its efficacy. Trust him to do this. Trust him to open your eyes, to give you a deeper spiritual insight. Trust him to teach you to think about the blood as God thinks about it. Trust him to impart to you and to make effective in you all that he enables you to see. Trust him above all in the power of his eternal high priesthood to work out in you unceasingly the full merits of his blood, so that your whole life may be an uninterrupted abiding in the sanctuary of God's presence through the blood of Jesus. Listen to Hebrews 10:19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ." Praise God. Do you understand what it means to enter the holiest? That inner sanctum behind that great thick linen veil that reminded sinful man that he had no basis upon which to approach a holy God. And you know what happened when Jesus said it's finished on the cross as he established the new covenant in his blood? The Bible said one of the supernatural events that occurred simultaneously with that statement is that in the great temple, in the holy city, that veil was supernaturally rent, ripped from top to bottom. Amen. And man, who was always reminded of his sinfulness, through the blood of Jesus, could come into the very holiest. Praise God. What a privilege, what majesty, what glory there is in the new covenant. Horatius Bonar, he made a statement about not what these hands have done. I want to read it to you in closing today. "Not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has done can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. Thy work alone, O Christ, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. Thy love to me, O God, not my poor love to Thee, can rid me of this dark unrest and set my spirit free. Thy grace alone, O God, can to me can pardon speak. Thy power alone, O Son of God, can this sore bondage break. I bless the Christ of God. I rest on love divine. And with unfaltering lip and heart, I call this Savior mine. Praise God. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, today, if you're listening to this broadcast and you have listened to this point, I believe with all of my heart that if you don't know Christ as your Savior right now, God is speaking to your heart and He wants to do a mighty work in your life. If you will receive Jesus as your personal Savior because of what He has done at the cross, the Holy Spirit will come and He will begin to change you from the inside out. As your sins are forgiven, God will begin a new thing, a new work in you because of the new covenant. And I want you to know what you could not do in and of yourself. God, through the blood of Jesus and the power and person of the Holy Spirit, can and will do within you. Don't let the enemy of your soul, who wants to take that soul when you draw your last breath, talk you out of, lie to you, deceive you into not receiving God's great gift of salvation. There is no need for anybody on planet Earth to be lost. God gave His Son for the sins of the whole world. He brought a covenant so great, so powerful, that sin's power is broken and Satan's prisons cannot hold anyone who receives Jesus captive any longer. Praise God. Today, if you'll pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life, He will come. The Bible said that He will come with healing in His wings in the Old Testament. Praise God. Hallelujah. And today you can just pray a prayer that's been prayed by millions of people all over the world. And there's no set exact pattern for it. We call it the sinner's prayer. It simply involves repenting of our sin, which means changing our mind about our sin. God will change your heart. Praise the Lord. But you've got to change your mind. Amen. Literally to turn from sin and to turn to God. To turn from darkness and turn toward light. The strength to walk out that decision will be given to you by the Spirit of God if you will ask Jesus into your heart after you repent. And let Him be your Lord and your Savior. If you're a Christian today and you're struggling with sin or you're struggling with self or you're struggling with guilt and despair, I want you to claim all of the finished work of the blood of Jesus. Literally, through that claiming, plead the blood of Jesus and all of its merits in your behalf and stand in the finished work of Jesus to see the victory over the flesh and over the world and over the devil. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is a powerful gospel. Thank God for the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ today. Oh, we pray that lives are being touched and lives are being changed as we declare the life-changing, soul-saving power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may be driving down the interstate. We went to a funeral for my wife's uncle in Pensacola, near Pensacola. And we could hear WMAF as we traveled the interstate. And just let me know that the gospel coming from this station is being listened to by travelers going up and down that interstate. Now I believe today if you're in a truck, if you're in a car, if you're traveling, God is speaking to you. It's no accident that you picked up WMAF and that you're listening to Let's Talk About Jesus. God knew what I was going to say before I knew what I was going to say. And if you haven't done it yet, please open your heart. Invite Jesus in. You can do it while you're driving right now. Oh, He loves you today. We love you today. Our time is gone. Would you please come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.